based on our sermon series for the last, 4 to 6 weeks, if someone asked you, what is your preacher preaching on? You would say, I don't know, he talks about bread every week. Before ladies' Bible study started, I went in there to deliver projector. They had some most delicious looking garlic bread. I mean, it was good. It looked good. I kind of made my way over toward the garlic bread and looked to see if I was safe and cut me a piece of garlic bread. And I said something about, I love garlic bread. I think it was Paula, I don't know who it was, who said, I think you just like bread. And I said, you're right, I do like bread. But I hope that even though I've been talking about bread, I hope you're understanding what I'm trying to get across from Jesus. I didn't write these words. These are the words of Jesus. And it all had to do with Jesus feeding the crowd of 5,000 men, 20,000 men, women, and children, the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Remember that? And Jesus used that opportunity to talk about how he is the bread of life. They needed bread to eat, to sustain their lives, to satisfy their hunger. But Jesus was trying to help them understand, in terms that they could understand, that what they need more than anything is they need him. They needed him as he died on the cross and rose again. They needed him, his teachings and his example. And Jesus uses their obsession with needing bread to try to teach them spiritual truths about himself, which is a master-teacher move, to use an object lesson to teach about something that is important. And so he uses this bread. And today we're going to be looking at John chapter 6, verses 48 through 59. And I've entitled the message, Jesus is the Living Bread We All Need. So yes, I'm going to talk about bread again. And yes, you may be hungry for bread during the sermon time today, and I might be as well. Although Larry brought me a chocolate chip cookie and he put it on my sermon page, and I've got a chocolate chip stain on my sermon page. And he said that that is to remind you that you're hungry and you need to finish the sermon up. With friends like that, who needs enemies, right? This is a tough saying from Jesus. What Jesus said in this passage was hard for people to take. It was hard for people to imagine. It was hard to listen to. People were offended by what Jesus is going to say in this passage. You know, it seems like people are pretty easily offended today. Some people were offended back then as well. But I want you to see, and I want you to know, that Jesus was not overly concerned with offending people. And Jesus was concerned with teaching the truth. He didn't seem to fret over those who were offended, but he was most concerned with sharing the truth of God that they desperately needed. I want to remind us as a church, we don't want to unnecessarily offend people with different things, but when it comes to God's word and God's truth, we need to know that it will offend some people. And that doesn't mean that we need to change the message. It might mean that we're on the right track. Now, we don't want to offend people about, you know, silly things, debatable things, but we don't need to shrink back from telling the truth, even if it offends people. And that's hard for me because I am by nature, a people pleaser, but it's what a pastor and a church and a church leadership and church members need to do, is they need to stand with the truth. And I'm thankful that I can stand in the pulpit every Sunday, and as long as I stay with God's word and tell the truth, y'all support me. And I don't have to have any fear of you supporting me. Even if you didn't, I would tell it anyway, but it's nice to have it, you know. So we're talking about bread, but before we talk about bread, I want you to think of something that disgusts you, something that really offends you, disgusts you. Is there something that just really is nasty to you? Anybody want to venture? Give me I'm asking for audience participation. What is something you don't like? Salad? Brussels sprouts. You are not alone. You are not alone. Okay. What is something over here? Anybody want to share? Something that's just gross, disgusting, you don't like. Fish? Broccoli? Over here? Huh? Beets. Okay. All right. Armpits. I think we can all get on board with that one. Was that JP that said that? Over here? Bad attitudes. Seeds. Seeds? Like you eat something, yeah, spit the seeds out? Okay. All right. There's probably others that feel that way. Red meat that's not well done. Okay. We'll talk about that one later. We don't agree on that one. I made ribs on Friday, and if you know me, you know that I hate mustard. And in order to make ribs, you got to slather mustard on ribs. Now, it all cooks off, but for a little while, I've got to smear mustard on both sides and season it. And when I started smoking meat last year, that was something I was really struggling with is, you know, is there some other way? There's got to be another way. There are some other ways, but they're more expensive and messier. But you got to slather mustard on meat. And I did that on Friday, and I find it disgusting to have to smear that vile yellow, unnaturally yellow paste on meat. I find that very offensive and disgusting. In fact, it takes the 3 hours of cooking ribs for me to get my appetite back after preparing ribs. Now, many of you cannot relate, and I see you shaking your head, but we all have our things, right? That's my thing, Russ. I don't like mustard on my anything. But the reason why I share this with you is because the Jews were absolutely offended and disgusted by what Jesus is going to say in this passage. What Jesus is going to say in this passage rubbed everybody the wrong way. They were disgusted and offended by what he is going to say. In fact, next week or the week after, I'm going to talk to you about how badly even his disciples were offended by what Jesus said. So whatever makes you feel disgusted, I hope you can kind of relate, but the reason why I bring that up is they were absolutely disgusted by what Jesus was about to say. Join me in John chapter 6, beginning in verse 48. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." Now this whole chapter is called the Bread Discourse. I'd forgotten that. It's called the Bread Discourse. Jesus did a whole speech using bread. So it's not just me. I'm just using his words. "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up that last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live, what? Forever. Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught at Capernaum. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. And Lord, we thank you that even though it seems raw and hard to understand in this passage, Lord, I pray that your Spirit will help us understand it. And I pray that he will help us to apply it to our lives. And I hope and pray that everyone here has personally appropriated Jesus for themselves. Speak to our hearts, Lord. We ask and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, obviously, looking at verse 49, physical bread is what we need to satisfy physical hunger and sustain our physical lives. Some of you may not be bread eaters. I don't understand that, but some of you may not be bread eaters. But Jews ate a lot of bread. Now, the bread that they ate was not the white sunbeam that we eat today. Their bread was very coarse, whole grain, probably had some bugs in it. And so it was more of a protein bar. It was more nourishing and sustaining than the bread that we eat today. And so they depended on bread. Bread also could be preserved for a little while. And bread was portable. They could take bread with them. And so bread was a very important part of their diet. Jesus is not talking about physical bread in this passage. He is comparing himself spiritually to physical bread. They had said to him, show us a mighty work, so to speak. And Jesus had just fed the 5,000, the 20,000 men, women, and children. But they demanded yet another sign from Jesus. And Jesus was offended by that. He said, I already showed you a sign, and still some of you don't believe. So Jesus uses the idea of bread and how it satisfies our physical hunger, at least temporarily, and it sustains our physical lives in a same but different way. That's what Jesus does for us spiritually. And Jesus was most concerned about our spiritual lives. He was concerned about feeding people, obviously. He healed people. He encouraged people. He loved people. But his main concern, his main mission was spiritual. In Luke chapter 2, it tells us, the angels told the shepherds, today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. What Jesus came to do and be was our Savior. And the idea behind that is we need a Savior. Everybody needs a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. And so in verse 49, he says, your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. It didn't last. I mean, it fed them, God fed them, they continued to live their lives, but at some point, they died of disease or age or something. That bread could not give them eternal life. He tells them that he is there to meet our spiritual hunger and our need for eternal life. So in verse 48, he says, I am the bread of life. You know, sunbeam is the bread of lunch. Or Mrs. Baird's, if I leave out your bread, I'm sorry, I don't intend to. But Jesus says here in verse 48, I am the bread of life, spiritual life. And then in verse 50 through 51, he says, this is the bread, and he's talking about himself, this is the bread that comes down from heaven. Where? From heaven, from God, right? So God sent manna to feed the people in the wilderness, but God sent Jesus to meet our deepest spiritual needs and to give us eternal life. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and what? Not die. They died. I come as bread that one may eat of it and not die. And then he continues in verse 51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. So we could really simplify this. Eat Mrs. Baird's or Nutri-Grain or whatever bread you like. Eat bread and eventually you will die. Not from the bread, hopefully, but it will sustain your life, your physical life for a time, but you're still going to physically give out at some point. But if you believe in Jesus, if you partake of Jesus, the bread of life, then you will not die. You will live eternally. And so Mrs. Baird's is short term. Jesus is long term, right? And it's important that you eat however many meals a day you need. It used to be three. Sometimes it's four. I think there's a fourth meal that Taco Bell talks about. A late night meal. I would not eat Taco Bell late at night. That would make for a long morning. Whew. I think Rod told me that he ate Taco Bell last week for lunch, and I thought, what did you do wrong, brother? Mother's Day! Are you that cheap? Oh, okay. Okay. Mother's choice, okay. Set your sights higher, Gayla. I mean, yeah. Yeah, we digress. So look at verse 52. In verse 52, the Jews were offended. Now, it doesn't really capture the essence of their offendedness, but it says, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because he's talking about, you got to eat my flesh and you got to drink my blood. That's gross. Is Jesus saying that we should engage in cannibalism? No, not at all. But do you know, in the early church, after Jesus had died and rose again, Rome accused Christians of cannibalism because of the Lord's Supper. Did you know that? Because the Christians were eating flesh and drinking blood. That's what the Romans actually accused the early Christians of being, cannibals of all things. And why? Because of this passage and because of the Lord's Supper. Because when they would gather, they would eat the bread that signified his body and drink the juice or wine that would signify his blood. And so they got the reputation for being cannibals. So if you're ever playing, you know, that game, what is it? Trivial Pursuit? And they ever say, what is something that the Christians were accused of in the early church? I bet that won't be in there. You can say cannibalism, and everybody will be amazed. You'll be the hero of that game. They'll be amazed. Again, I digress. And so they were offended. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Ah, gross. We don't want that. That's disgusting. That is against our law. The law of Moses forbids cannibalism and eating stuff that has blood, the lifeblood still in the carcass. There was very specific ways they had to prepare meat and they had to separate, drain the blood out. And Jesus is telling these religious leaders who knew the law, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. Ah! They were grossed out. How can he tell us to give his flesh to eat? So Jesus said, I am sorry I offended you. Let me use an illustration concerning fruit. No, he did not. Did y'all get that? A few of you? Just wasn't funny, I guess. But I want you to see that Jesus doubled down, tripled down, quadrupled down. He did not worry that they were offended. Instead, he doubled down. Look what he did in verse 53. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly. Now every time it says truly, truly, it means listen. Everything that Jesus said is true, but when it says truly, truly, pay attention. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. And these religious leaders were just, they had to be, they were so angry. So this was so controversial and disgusting to them to think about eating flesh and drinking blood. In verse 54, whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. What in the world does Jesus mean here? That's gross. What he is talking about is just like you have to eat bread, you have to take the bread for yourself, and you have to bring it to your mouth, and you've got to enter it into your body. You have to consume bread in order to get any benefit from it. Jesus is making the comparison that spiritually, he does not want you to eat his flesh or drink his blood, but spiritually, you have to appropriate Jesus for yourself personally. Okay? You have got to embrace him. You have got to take advantage of what he offers in order to benefit from what he has to offer. You see what I'm saying? So in order for a person to benefit from his death and resurrection, you have to appropriate it for yourself. Now, I know appropriate is a big word. I tried to find little synonyms. There's not a little synonym for appropriate. But you have to receive it for yourself. You got to make it your own. You got to make Jesus your own. So just like bread that you got to eat, you got to make the effort, you've got to make it a part of you, the same is true of Jesus. You have to make him a part of you. You have to receive him in order for his death and resurrection to apply to you so that it will meet your deepest spiritual needs, and it will give you eternal life. And so he uses this very colorful language to help us to understand that we must receive him for ourselves personally. It's not enough to just believe that he was a real historical person, or that he was a good teacher, or to even believe that he died on a cross. You must believe that for yourself. You can't believe it because your church preaches it. You can't believe it because it's a good story. You can't believe it just because your grandparents were Baptists. You have to appropriate it for yourself. You got to make it yours. And so Jesus died on the cross. And when he died on the cross, he was making himself the sacrifice for your sin and my sin. Otherwise, it would have been you and me. But Jesus is so great and so powerful. He is God. He gave his own flesh and blood in our place so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved, so we could have a more abundant life in him here on earth, and so we could have eternal life. He paid our penalty. And what we have to do is we've got to receive it for ourselves. Does that make sense? This one was a hard one to study and explain. I had to explain it to myself before I try to explain it to you. And so every person must personally appropriate or maybe receive Jesus in his or her life. Repent of your sin and believe in the sacrifice of Jesus for his or her sins. You got to make it yours. And when you do that, Jesus talks about eternal life. Look at verse 54. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. And then if you go on, he says, say verse 57, so whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. Whoever feeds, verse 58, whoever feeds on this will live forever. So what Jesus is purchasing for us, what Jesus is paying for us, by his own body, his own sacrifice, his own blood, he is giving us eternal life. We all need eternal life. Now, we tend to focus on what's right in front of us. What are we eating for lunch? What are you doing this afternoon? What are you doing tonight? Okay, you got to go back to work tomorrow. What are we going to do next weekend? We focus on the here and now. But every person needs to look further, raise their expectations, Gala, needs to look beyond the here and now and make sure he or she has eternal life. Not because what's happening now is going to pass away, but there is eternal life waiting in the future, and it's coming soon. So, personally believing in Jesus results in eternal life in heaven with God forever. Sounds good? Now, it really is going to sound good now, because the alternative is not good. The alternative is eternal death. The Bible talks about eternal death, judgment at death in the end times, condemnation, hearing God say, "Depart from me," and then being consigned and separated, condemned into hell from God forever. So there are two destinations, potential destinations for every person. You can have eternal life, highly recommend it, or you can have eternal separation from God in hell forever. Don't recommend it. Don't go there. If you receive Jesus as your personal Savior and Lord, you will have eternal life. If you fail to, if you reject Him, if you choose not to decide, you will inherit eternal death. This isn't my words. This is not here to scare you. It's not here to offend you. It's not here to stress you. But that's what Jesus said. And I must tell you what Jesus said. There are two potential destinations. You'll either have eternal life or you'll have eternal death. And Jesus came so that you can have eternal life. And you may say, well, I'm looking for something a little different. There is no door number three. There's no door number three. You can't make up a door number three. You can't decide there's going to be a door number three. You can't just believe something different and it be so. Jesus said eternal life or eternal death. And Jesus came so that you and I and everyone who believes in Him can have eternal life. That's hope. That's joy. That's the way to live, is to follow Jesus. So as I close, I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to personally believe in Jesus and His sacrifice for your sins, so that you may experience the great forgiveness, abundant life, and eternal life that Jesus gives. And you say, man, I have heard this kind of sermon so many times. I don't know why you keep talking about salvation. I did that a long time ago. It's good to be sure, first of all. And second, you may need to share this with someone else. It may not be for you. It may be a good reminder for you. It may be that there's someone here that needs to hear it, and you would rejoice in them to receive eternal life. But it's not enough to believe in the story of Jesus. Each and every person has to make it your own. That's the eating the flesh and the drinking the blood. It is making Jesus your own Savior and Lord. And then I just want to encourage you that believing in Jesus implies a radical life transformation. Again, it's not enough just to believe the story of Jesus, but the kind of faith and belief that I'm calling you to results in a life that is changed. It results in a transformation of life, of your thoughts. That's what repentance is, changing your mind, changing your heart, changing your wants, changing your desires. It means that you have a desire to follow the Jesus who sacrificed Himself for you. And so Believe if you haven't already believed. Follow Jesus if you haven't already followed Jesus. If you're a Christian today, I hope our message time just makes you thank Him and love Him even more. Appreciate Him even more. And I hope it motivates you to share the message with someone else. If you're not a Christian today, I want to encourage you strongly to believe in Jesus as your own personal Savior and Lord. Appropriate Him, receive Him personally, so that you may be saved, so that you may have a more abundant life, and so that you will have assurance of eternal life when you die. Not trying to be grim today, but the truth is, everyone is going to leave, we're all going to wear out unless Jesus comes back before you wear out. We're all going to wear out, and then what? We're all going to die, and then what? Will Christ raise you to eternal life, or will God condemn you to eternal hell? I want y'all to remember, don't you ever say, well, our preacher never preaches on hell. I've said hell like 5 times in this sermon, okay? Every once in a while, I'll have a church member, I'll hear through Sunday school or something, our pastor never preaches on hell. 5 times today, I want credit. But more than anything, I want no one to go there. And you don't have to, because Jesus has paid the price. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll have our invitation.